This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, the injuries to Neville and Bray Wyatt, plus what the cuss was going on with Shane, Vince, and Undertaker. So Jake, here on the road to WrestleMania, I have to ask you, are you dealing with any nagging injuries right now? Do you think you're going to make it to the show okay?
You know, I will make it. I got a little bit of a headache every now and again, but nothing that's going to prevent me from getting up to Dallas.
Okay. I'm just checking because as my dog's guest star on the show, the WWE roster seems to be dealing with a wave of injuries again and again and again. We already have John Cena out of action, Randy Orton out of action, Daniel Bryan retired. I mean, the list goes on. Cesaro's out. It is bad news. Seth Rollins, of course, out of action as well. It's bad news for WWE on the injury front, and that news got worse this week as we found out Neville is out for about 3 months at least with an ankle injury after an injury on Raw, and Bray Wyatt is out with some sort of undisclosed back injury. The hits keep on coming, and that roster gets thinner by the moment as these injuries pile up.
Yeah, I'm kind of struggling to figure out how they're going to fill out like an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal unless they're borrowing pretty heavily from NXT. Like, it doesn't even seem like they would have enough people to fill out a 30-man match, or I guess they might have to go down to 20 or something along those lines. I'm not sure, but it's getting pretty desperate out there. I think Neville showed a remarkable amount of toughness on Monday. You know, he seemed like he wanted to try to continue the match immediately after the injury, but you could tell, fairly quickly that he was in no condition to do so. And I think the most amazing thing coming out of that was how quickly Chris Jericho was able to improvise and work towards the close of a match, even though there seemed to be some kind of miscommunication with Charles Robinson. And Jericho quickly got to his feet and got out of the match before they could do, any further damage to Neville's ankle.
Yeah, that was really remarkable. It was one of those moments on TV where wrestling gets realer than I would like it to be. But you watch and you see Jericho, I won't say he kept his composure, but he managed to get out of the match, get Neville to the back and take care of Neville, which is the first priority in that situation when someone's injured in the ring. And kudos to him for doing that. And Charles Robinson, seemed like he just made an honest mistake when he talked about it on Twitter afterwards. He said, "I screwed up last night. I didn't realize that he was injured. That was my bad." So, and also apologized for dropping the F-bomb on live TV.
Well,
still waiting for that apology from Vince, though.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I mean, it seemed like they weren't planning on having Jericho cut that promo after the match either. He just had to improvise his way to getting AJ Styles out there, who I assume was supposed to maybe factor into the finish of the match somehow. I mean,
a distraction finish or something.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, that seems very common for WWE these days. So I'm assuming Neville was actually supposed to pick up a win there, with some help from AJ Styles, and unfortunately, it just didn't happen that way. But I'm very glad that they were able to get that match over with and work their way towards at least, getting Neville to the back before, he attempted to do any other. And, he looked like he was actually trying to get up to the top rope to finish the match before he actually ended up in a pretty tough spot. So yeah. I'm glad they were able to improvise out of that because ankles are delicate, and if he would have tried to continue any further than he did, he might have ended up, needing surgery or something horrible like that.
And it is great. He doesn't need surgery. He should be back in about 3 or 4 months, and hopefully Neville. I mean, it's the worst timing of the year for a guy to get injured because so many wrestlers dream of being on WrestleMania. It's the goal all year, and Neville was so close. I assume he was going to be in the big multi-man ladder fiasco, and he doesn't get that now. I'm sure, I'm sure he'll get some sort of Mania payday and be around the show and do all the Mania weekend activities and all of that. But man, what a rough break for Neville. What a rough break for WWE right now. And of course, Bray Wyatt being out of action as well. Bray's the Bray Wyatt out of action is a little less jarring because for a long time, Bray has just been promos. Like, that's not the most surprising thing.
The thing with Bray Wyatt is that it seemed like he was heading towards a program with Brock Lesnar, and I don't know if the improvisation to go to Dean Ambrose was just, you know, a direction the company took before they knew he was having issues with his back, or if it's a result of the injury to his back. You know, we don't really know enough about the status of the injury and the, you know, and the nature of, you know, his recovery to say whether or not, you know, which one is the case. But I think it ended up making the WrestleMania card a little bit better. I mean, as much as I hate to see a guy like Bray Wyatt hurt, I mean, I haven't really been excited about Bray Wyatt or the Wyatt family in a considerable amount of time. So, you know, maybe this is the impetus he needs to do some real thinking about how he wants to forge ahead with his career. I mean, I don't know the severity of his back injury. I know back injuries are sensitive business, and it could very well be, you know, much more serious than is being, you know, we're being led to believe at the moment. You know, the rumors are that it's significant, but, you know, nobody has mentioned the word career threatening or anything like that in regards to the injury. So hopefully he's able to recover. And when he does, maybe they'll have something in mind for him. You know, it seems like for so long he's just been kind of wandering aimlessly from feud to feud, making threats that he's never been able to back up, you know, in the context of his stories. And it's led to, you know, he's still popular and he still has, you know, that entrance that's pretty magical if you're live in the arena. But beyond that, I can't imagine, you know, a guy who is more talented, who's being as misused as Bray Wyatt has been for the last 18 months or so.
Yeah, I would agree. Bray is good in the ring, really good on the mic when he has a direction, but WWE has abused that promo ability for a long, long while. And hopefully this is a wake-up call that they can't do that. I'm curious to see if they continue with him being on TV and injured, what they do with the Wyatt family, if they take Bray off of TV and he's injured. I'm really, really kind of interested to see how they handle this whole injury situation with Bray. I wonder if it's as simple as Bray's gone, the family wreaks havoc, and then Bray comes back to lead them and Bray is stronger somehow. That would be fun. It would be fun to see Bray get a little bit of a restart on his story, really, because I would love for Bray Wyatt to have a goal and actually accomplish that goal. It seems simple, but it's something that Bray Wyatt character really has not done over, I think, the almost 3 years he's been on the WWE main roster. So that would be nice to see. Today on ProWrestling.net, members are listening to reviews of Ring of Honor and SmackDown TV shows, a loaded edition of .NET Weekly with Jason Powell and Court Bauer, and they're accessing everything on the ProWrestling.net website ad-free. Want to get on board? For $7.50 a month or $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, you can. Head over to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link, and get yourself some sweet, sweet .NET membership. Another way you can help us out is rating and reviewing us on iTunes. We would greatly appreciate you throwing out some stars, maybe an opinion or two. You know, you do you. As long as you're rating and reviewing us on iTunes. Thank you guys so much for your support and for listening to the show. And now back to the show. Moving on from injuries, another thing coming out of Raw that we have to talk about, and this one, it breaks my heart a little bit to talk about it, because I have to criticize what is easily my second favorite thing in wrestling, and after last week having to criticize Sami Zayn, and this week I have to criticize Shane McMahon, I'm not sure what's left. I don't know what I have anymore, Jake. I'm very, very sad, but that Shane, Vince, and Undertaker segment on Raw, what was your reaction as you watched it live? Or pseudo-live?
I mean, it was a train wreck, to be honest. I mean, and it's not that I have any particular lean when I go into these segments. I'm not looking to love this. I'm not looking to hate it. You know, I have no particular, you know, hatred for Shane McMahon, or, you know, the fact that The Undertaker is still wrestling at his advanced age, or even the storyline that they've set out. I mean, I think there's a possibility for a lot of promise here. I think telling the internals of the McMahon family drama in a way that is much more of a hook than what we've been seeing from The Authority, for instance, on screen, is somewhat interesting to me. And I was looking forward to it being a solidly told story, because the first segment that they introduced with Shane's return, I thought was very compelling television. And so the follow-up has just been lackluster thus far. And to see them, go out there and have Shane a little bit confused as to what the fans are expecting from him, and then he flubbed a couple of lines, and then you could tell that kind of threw off the Undertaker a bit, and then they had that really bad physical interaction where Shane looked like he was doing some very spastic dance moves rather than being involved in a physical confrontation. It just didn't click. Like, there was just nothing about it that made me like, oh man, I really got to tune in next week to see where this is going. It just kind of turned me off in a way that I was hoping that it wouldn't. And it's not that they can't recover, if next week and the following week are a home run, but it's kind of at a point where I've started to sour on it. And I was hoping that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah. Same here. They haven't protected Shane well. I don't know if it's just that there's no way to protect him, and Shane is showing that he can't remember his lines and other important things, or I'm not sure if it's just that they're punting at this point and hoping that hot return angle is enough. But it is one of those angles where that first one, it was electric and it was really cool and it was really fun. And then every time we've seen these players since then, it's been a little less cool and a little less electric, and the match seems to lose something every time they roll out something about it. And now we're two Monday Night Raws away from WrestleMania, and we got to go, okay, well, what's actually happening? What's the, what can they do to make this hot again? It's not Shane getting physical in any way. I would have held off that the entire time. It's definitely not the Shane O'Mac shuffle on The Undertaker. Jason was very, very critical of that in his audio on Raw. I've got to agree. I love Shane McMahon. I think he's fun. But in there against The Undertaker, you don't dance. That's really not what someone should do. This was an all-around strange segment. I will say this for Shane. He got up for that choke slam. He at least got up for that choke slam.
Yeah, that he did. And it was just, I think, the contrast of, like, The Undertaker, I guess, at least through the last, trimester of his career, for the last decade or so, or maybe a little bit less, has kind of been known as a guy whose act in the ring, at least, had kind of tilted towards realism. He's an MMA fan. He kind of brought that into the ring with him. His punches are very hard to see through. You can always tell, the guys are stomping the mat. And of course, if you focus in on that, you can definitely get sucked out of the moment. But I think The Undertaker has at least, prided himself a little bit on having one of the cleaner, working punches in the business. And I think Shane going in there and hitting those marshmallow punches on him and him having to sell them, it just made for a really awkward segment in that regard. And then, I keep going back in my head to like the beginning of this promo when they did that hot return angle, and you had Vince, of course, using The Undertaker as his analog, his champion to have this match. And they're like, wouldn't it have made sense for Shane to just nominate somebody else to do this for him, and then he could wager exactly the same thing, putting whatever the hell was in that McMahon family lockbox on the line, and instead of having himself go out there and wrestle, have somebody who is his champion, who actually represents the ideals that he wants to have the company represent going forward, whether that's somebody from NXT, whether it's Sami Zayn, or he's probably a bad example, but Samoa Joe or Shinsuke Nakamura or somebody who, you know, he claims he wants to reinstate, you know, some kind of meritocracy when it comes to who, you know, is getting exposure on television. Well, fine, then put somebody out there who you think deserves that exposure, and don't give it to Shane McMahon, who clearly is not, you know, from a physicality standpoint, going to be able to go out there and have a match where he's able to hang with The Undertaker. You know, I'm just expecting, you know, a complete garbage match in terms of, you know, interference and you know, using spectacle and brawling and weapons and stuff to find a way to get them through 10 or 15 minutes worth of a Hell in a Cell match, instead of, you know, hell, if he used Samoa Joe or introduced Nakamura or something at that moment, people would have freaked out. And, you know, even if you aren't 100% confident that Shinsuke Nakamura versus The Undertaker sells the show, you have Vince and Shane there with them. You know, and that's true. And that whole drama you bring to that situation with their wager to help, you know, assist that along. So I think they made a huge calculated mistake putting Shane in this position rather than just using Shane as, you know, as the dramatic push and putting an actual wrestler in a position to have a great match with Taker.
Would, in this scenario, does Shane still fall off of something pretty tall?
Well, I think you have to have him do that.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird because this is still the thing I'm looking forward to most at WrestleMania. Like that, and I guess that says something about the WrestleMania card right now. Maybe it says something about my own sick love of Shane McMahon. But Shane McMahon versus Undertaker, despite what it's lost, there's nothing as exciting as that match to me happening at WrestleMania. And my current prediction on this one is John Cena comes in, attitude adjustment to Undertaker after everyone's fallen off of everything, and Shane pulls Shane on top because he has to get rid of the authority. And the next night, Undertaker and John Cena agree that at WrestleMania 33, because, you know, why not make it a year out? Undertaker's going to have his last match, and it's going to be against John Cena. That's kind of my current thought process with where WWE is.
Yeah, and I think you have to make sure that, you know, if you book that a year out, that
no one gets hurt.
The latter half of the year, John Cena is not working a heavy schedule.
Yeah.
He can appear on Raw, but he shouldn't be doing, you know, 30 house shows a month and you know, every pay-per-view and everything like that. Like, he's got to be healthy. So I think if you're going to book that a year out, you got to put some caveats in there that he's going to be taken care of heading into that match, because Taker can get by with one or two appearances a year, but Cena is, you know, he's the workhorse, or at least that's been his characteristic for his entire career. But I think in this instance, you have to protect him in a way that makes sure he's available.
I would completely agree with that. And that's going to wrap it up for this week's today's show. We'll be back again later in the week. Have a good one, everyone. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!